If I was to tag our time together with a title, it would be Faith Changes Things, Believing What You Cannot See. As we said, that this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so I'm going to, although I could probably stand here and talk to both subjects as I've been, I'm a survivor of both, but today I'm just going to talk about breast cancer awareness. And I would like to open up with a story that I read about a 9/11 victim, a survivor. Her name was Janelle Guzman McMillan. She wanted to change her life and her home and from her home in Trinidad, so she came and moved to New York in 1998. In order to stay in New York, McMillan knew she needed to get a good and steady job. She believed that she couldn't believe it that when she was hired to work at the World Trade Center. She was excited about her first day at work, which was January the 19th, 2001. She made many friends through her work, including a live-in boyfriend named Roger. They spent every weekend partying. But on the morning of 9/11, she went to her job on the 64th floor. She and her coworkers heard a loud crash, and the building moved. They stayed on the 64th floor until it became known what had happened. Janelle and her coworkers started down one of the stairwells and made it to the 13th floor. That is when the whole building collapsed. Amazingly, steel and concrete had pinned her where she was. She was injured, but she was alive. She lay there unable to move, rethinking her life. 27 hours after the building collapsed, she was able to push her hand up a few inches of the rubble above her head, and she felt someone, warm hand, take hers. Then she heard a male voice as it says, "I got you, Janelle. My name is Paul," he told her. "You're going to be okay. They're going to come and get you out of here soon." She heard other voices. She heard sirens, and then she saw the light. "They're here," Paul says. "I'm going to go and let them do their job and get you out." Yes. Janelle was the last survivor pulled from the World Trade Center. There were three things that she promised God she would do as soon as she got out of the hospital. Number one, she would be baptized. Number two, she would marry her boyfriend, Roger. Number three, she would find Paul, the one who held her hand. On November the 7th, after 6 weeks in the hospital, four surgeries, hours of physical therapy and rehabilitation, she kept two of those promises that she made while she was trapped under the rubble. She and Roger got married in City Hall, and Janelle was baptized that evening in Jesus Christ. But Paul, she never found him. Who was he? No one knew. No one had ever heard of him. She called her pastor and asked him. They discussed another Paul, the one in the Bible, who was totally in darkness, like Janelle, but fought against God until she saw that marvelous light. Yes. Janelle was a survivor of 9/11. And I am standing here today, a grateful 22-year breast cancer survivor. I would like to believe that my story is a little different from Janelle, but I can see myself in Janelle's situation. Diagnosed at a young age, compounded my anxiety and my stress level over what was occurring in my life. It isn't until most of us are in a life-threatening situation or predicament that we begin to examine our lives and how we have lived our lives before the Lord. I was no different. In fact, I probably did more examining than most. Like most of you, I grew up in the church. But unlike most of you, I stopped going to church for a season of my life. I wasn't mad at God or the saints of the church. I just got my priorities mixed up. Like the prodigal son, I went out into the world only to discover that the world was filled with pig pens, liars, cheats, bad habits, and not only threats to the physical body, but threats to my spiritual body. You see, I was young, and it only seemed right that I should have some fun, or so I thought at the time. Eventually, I came to myself and rededicated my life to the Lord, returning to church. Everything was going good in my life. My son was doing well in school, and I had recently been promoted on my job, and I was preparing to buy my first home. I really felt that I was back on track in a good space, in a good place with the Lord. But you see, things changed. I found myself facing a life-threatening disease. My initial response was similar to that of the stages of grief. I was in denial. I was angry. I was depressed. I reflected. I was lonely. I bargained with God. And then I accepted. I wish I could tell you that immediately I stood on my faith and began to fast and pray. I even wish I could tell you that I called on the elders of the church and asked them to pray the prayers of healing. I went through those stages of grief for my life, for my body that would never be the same. When I went through the bargaining stages with God, I asked him, Lord, give me a miracle. Call this demon called cancer out of my body, and I will always remember to remember you first, oh God. When it appeared that God was not going to give me my miracle and God wasn't going to agree with my plan, I moved reluctantly into acceptance, and I thank God every day that I did. You see, the word found in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, it was in that 11th chapter that I remembered in the book of Hebrews that I found my courage and the strength of God's word to stand during the storm of cancer. In spite of the winds and the waves, I believed because of my faith in God that I could make it to the other side. You see, that first and sixth verse of Hebrews 11, known as the Great Faith chapter, became my anthem. It became my scripture of transformation. Here I was, a 34-year-old single mother, trying to keep things together and live a life pleasing to God. And the bottom falls out. But verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was then I realized that God was all that I had, not my job. I realized I had to depend on God to get through. Now, I said earlier this morning that I had to depend on God, that my mother, my father, my sister, or my brothers couldn't help me, even though they stood with me. It was God that I needed at that time. You see, it was then that I realized that only God could make me whole again. Even though the doctors were there, the nurses and the treatment, it was God that I needed to get through this situation. Not only did I make it, but I made it because of Jesus. You see, like the demon possessed man that was healed by Jesus, who was so grateful that he wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said to him, no, go home to your family and your friends and tell them what great thing the Lord has done for you and that he has had compassion on you. I also had to consider that things might not go the way that I had planned. So my prayer changed in my acceptance and my surrender to the Lord, not to the disease. I included in my prayer, Lord, if you don't heal my physical body and call this demon called cancer out, I pray that you will keep your promises in your word, God, and save my soul and prepare a place for me in your kingdom. You see, like that man, that Gadarene man, the one that Jesus had called the demons out, Jesus had also called the cancer out of me. And when he did, he said to me, no, you're not going with me now. But I want you to go and tell your family. I want you to tell your friends. I want you to tell the world what I've done for you so that you might stand and know that I can do anything but fail. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. God still loves you and he will work it out. I didn't deserve it. God knows I didn't deserve it, but he loved me beyond my faults. And somebody in here is struggling today. I've done this, I've been there, and I've turned away from God. But God is saying, not so. Come to me. I'm the one that will see you through. Come to me. I will help you in your lowest place. The first point I want to share with you today, that as we talk about faith is that faith is a call to perseverance. Whatever the odds, the situation, or the diagnosis, faith begins with knowledge, and you cannot believe what you do not know. Then you must agree that the faith, that your knowledge is true. You must believe the word of God and know that it is true. It's one thing to have knowledge, but it's another thing to believe. I know a lot of things, but I don't believe them all. The verse says that faith is substance. That word substance in the Greek means hypostasis, which makes up two words. Stasis means to stand. Hapu means under, meaning that which stands under a foundation. You see, our faith causes us to persevere, to stand on our foundation, which is the promises of God through Christ Jesus. No matter what you're going through, you can stand on the promises of God. It's a solid foundation. The second point I want to share with you today is that faith is a call to hope. Hope is required for things unseen and in the future. Hope reinforces the present by the prospect of the future. You see, faith is the foundation to our hope. It is our guarantee. Faith is of such nature that it turns those things that are yet in the future into present reality. So certain, so sure that we shall receive what God has promised that it is though it is already real. We hope because we believe. Hope vanishes if faith ceases. I want you to hear that. Hope vanishes if faith ceases. You need hope. You need faith in order to hope. You need hope to bring change. You need faith in order for hope to work. The third and final point that I want to share with you today is that faith is a call to assurance. Faith gives us assurance. We sing this song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Because faith is the persuasion not only that there are blessings, but faith is persuaded that the blessings are ours. Assurance is an inseparable part of the saving faith. The verse goes on to say that faith is the evidence of things not seen. This doesn't expand or add or take away to what has already been said. It confirms it. You see, the assurance, the foundation, the guarantee spoken of in the first part of the verse is now evidence or conviction, and the things hoped for are precisely the things that are not seen. The same conviction caused Paul to make a confident response when he says that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What guarantee do we have that we believe what we believe? The basis of our faith is a promise that the one we consider dependable, that person is Jesus the Christ. I want you to ask yourself, what is this faith? The word faith is spoken more than 300 times in the New Testament. There are so many books written about it, and there will be more. The Bible does not seek to define faith, but it seeks to direct our faith. It is not just a mere intellectual belief that there is some sort of higher power up there. That is not saving faith. No, faith biblically speaking is much more specific and substantial than that. When we are talking about faith, we are talking about faith in the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who reveals himself to us through Christ Jesus. In the preaching moment, in the teaching moment of the gospel, this gospel that we believe in, this gospel of faith, is focused in the person and the works of Jesus Christ, who revealed the Father's heart of mercy to us. You see, Jesus Christ, whom the Holy Spirit bears witness to and glorifies. This Jesus Christ is indeed the very Son of God, the only Savior sent from heaven. He is your Savior, the one who came to rescue from sin and death and give you forgiveness and everlasting life in its place. Jesus did not do this. Jesus did this by going to the cross, shedding his blood that you and I might have this gift. Jesus did it for us by raising from the dead, showing the power of his victory, which will be our victory one day. One day when Christ returns and raises us to eternal life. You see, these gifts are a gift of grace received by faith. Faith takes hold of the promises of God, and all these promises are wrapped up in Christ Jesus. In spite of all of that that has been said, I want you to know that faith in God, in God's goodness, will never be destroyed. It may be tested in us. He will test us. He did not promise us that life will not have ups and downs. He did not promise us that we will not have trials and tribulations. He did not promise us that we would not be sick. God promised us that he has overcome the world, that whatever is in this world, he's bigger than it. And if we depend on him, we can make it through. The ultimate proof is the cross of Christ. This is the one thing that you can hold on, even when everything else is falling apart. The miracle of faith is a miracle because it is all God's doing. God's working his faith in you through his power and anointed word. This faith in Christ, your Savior, will see you through every obstacle you will face in life and in the life that is yet to come. My sisters and my brothers, as I go to take my seat, I praise God for his mighty works of giving you faith and giving me faith to keep on keeping on. That verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I, as well as thousands of other survivors, are not saints listed in the Bible. Many of you are here today can say that it was the faith of God that brought you through. His word, found in John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want you to know our faith in God allows us to persevere. Our faith in God allows us to have hope and to be assured that we are in Christ and that whatever the outcome is, we will receive a miracle. It might be in your physical body. It will be in your spiritual body if you hold on to God's unchanging hands. Our faith guarantees us the victory, the deliverance, and the healing through Christ Jesus. We are all survivors of one thing or another. But one thing is for sure. If we are in Christ, we are not condemned, but we have everlasting life. You see, I am a survivor. You are a survivor. We are all survivors in Christ Jesus. As I close today, I want to share one last story with you. And I'm one that I'm sure you've heard before because I've shared it before. There was one survivor of a wreck who was thrown onto an uninhabited island. After a while, the lone survivor managed to build himself a hut in which he placed the little that he had saved from the wreck. He prayed to God for deliverance and anxiously scanned the horizons each day, hailing any passing ship that went by. One day on return from the hunt for food, he was horrified to find that his hut was aflame. It was all caught up in a fire, burning down. All that he had was going up in smoke. The worst had happened, it seemed, but it was that which seems to have happened for the worst was in reality for his best. Yeah. Somebody gonna get that. What seemed to have been the worst turns out in reality to be for the best. Somebody know what I'm talking about today, that when you were out there doing whatever you were doing and God had to pull you back in so that you would come under his word and know who he is, and to recognize that God is your God, and that out there is nothing but trouble and pain. But when you come to Jesus, when you surrender your life to him, no matter what comes, you can make it. You see, the next day, this is the good part. The next day, a ship arrived. And he said, how did you know I was here? He said, we saw your smoke signal. Is anybody throwing up any smoke signals today? Is anybody stranded out there on the island all by themselves waiting for God to show up?
All I want you to do is remember that your pain pushes you into the victory.
We have to remember that our lives are in the hands of God. All things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. You are sitting here because you were called according to his purpose. I don't care what your neighbor said or those who knew you yesterday. You are called according to his purpose. That's why you're here, because God called you to be here. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here. Persecution, danger, swords, whatever. God is with us and he's for us. Therefore, we got to be courageous in this thing, and we got to have confidence that no matter what life throws at us, no matter how difficult it gets, how many nights you have to prance, just give your situation to God. He's listening. He's waiting. He's hoping. He's praying that you will come. You cannot make it by yourself. Now, you might fool yourself and your friends might fool you. You can make it. But I tell you, before it's all over, God's will have the last word. I don't stand here and tell you that God gave me cancer so that he could turn my life around. I wouldn't tell you that because it's not true. But I will tell you that God took a bad situation and made it good. Because he did that, I'm standing here today. Because he did that, I turned my life around. Because he did that, I could step out on faith and tell you, God can work it out, whatever it may be. I'm not telling you what somebody told me. I remember there was a song my mother used to sing. My mama may have, and my papa may have, but I thank God for the child that has his own. You see, your mama might have faith, and your daddy might have faith, but God expects you to get your own faith and stand on it. Stand on it. You might be up today, but tomorrow is a new day. And you can hold on to God and know that God is able to bring you out. You can hold on to God and say, Lord, this is not easy, but I know with you I can do it. Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but you're not the God who looks at my yesterday. You take all our sins and throw them into the sea of forgetfulness. You don't throw up in our face what happened yesterday, but you see us from this moment forward. You see, when God created us, he created us to be what he called us to be. This is just the minutiae we're going through right here. You see, this is just the situations we're going through right here. But it's what's going to happen later that's going to make the difference. You see, God has a plan for you. He said so in his word. For I know the plan that I have for you. God's not going to turn around now. You might get stuck, but God is never stuck.